Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to the 13th episode of Tender Loving Care with your host, myself, Pauline, and my darling Kate. Every week, Kate and I break down two shows from the TLC network, the name of the network that I believe for the longest time was an acronym for Tender Loving Care. And when I found out that it actually stood for the Learning Channel and I saw the types of shows were on that channel, my deep confusion bred this podcast. Each week, Kate and I will randomly select two shows to cover for the next episode by spinning the Wheel of Shame, which has all 113 shows and counting that we will be studying. Oh, hello, Kate.
Oh, hello. How are you?
Sweating my ass off. So we are currently, for listeners, I'm in LA. Kate's in Austin. I think we've mentioned that before. And LA basically is just always boiling. 70 degrees is freezing. And it's May, so that means it's automatically gotta be like nearly 100 degrees every day. It's not quite that, but right now I'm in a room and I can't have the AC on or the fan on because it's gonna cause too much background noise. So for you, dear listeners, I'm sweating my ass off. It's a lot. It's a lot for me right now.
You've got your cute handkerchief to catch the sweat around your neck.
I wanted to do, and actually, if I took it off, I'd be cooler, but I really like the look of it. Well, I felt a little bit Parisian today, and I was like, you know, what can we do with that? Let's just do a little neckerchief. So got it around, just hanging out.
You look very chic.
Thank you. It's hanging out in the sweat. Kate, we have two shows this week, as always, the Wheel of Shame gave us. Neither of them had we seen before. The first one we're going to deal with, which you are going to read the synopsis of, we'll get into, but it was kind of along the lines we suspected of things we've seen before.
Yeah, we could guess, and you'll guess what it's about with the title, dear listeners.
Exactly. But having said that, I think we should get into it. You ready, Kate?
Yeah, let's go over this first show, the description that TLC gives it. So this first show that we're talking about is called Too Large.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With the help of bariatric surgeon Dr. Proctor, morbidly obese individuals attempt to lose weight in order to change their lives forever. They face challenges as they work to reinvent their lifestyles.
So, first of all, we had mentioned last week, the title got me. I was a couple of cocktails in last week, so unclear of exactly what I had mentioned. So if I repeat myself, I apologize. But the title, just Too Large. Everyone's given up. We said that last week. There's just, we need another show about morbid. If we went through and counted the amount of shows concerning the morbidly obese, Kate, it's a lot. It's a lot on TLC.
This show is basically a rebrand of My 600 Pound Life.
Yeah. I mean, it pretty much is. And I hadn't until... Well, funny you mentioned that, because Kate has watched My 600 Pound Life. And she's talked to me about it. And I know, obviously, what it's about because, well, the title kind of gives it away. But I understood that Dr. Now, who is the guy that they go to, is kind of like a legend in the reality TV show world. And I'd seen clips on YouTube of him just being really like... you're lying to me, you know, forthright, direct, saying everything that we always scream at our TV. And today I was working away on something, and you know when you just need background TV, just background
TV. Right.
I put My 600 Pound Life on, and Kate, when we get that on the Wheel of Shame, I don't know. I really don't know what we're going to do. They're 1.5 hours long each episode, and there's 8 seasons, dude.
Oh, I didn't realize there were that many seasons.
Actually, I was watching 8, so there might be 10, because I didn't watch the most recent... Yeah, I think it's like 10 seasons. I don't know what we're going to do with the Wheel of Shame on that one.
Whoa, okay. Yeah, we'll have to figure that out. Yeah.
But you know, Kate and I stick to the hashtag save it for the potty, but we weren't discussing My 600 Pound Life in this episode, so I was texting her feverishly about Dr. Now.
Yeah. I'm so happy you finally really understand... The magic of Dr. Now.
I'm obsessed with him. And you know what? We don't want to give away all of our opinions because the Wheel of Shame will give it to us eventually. But we're going to have a field day with that one, Kate. That's going to be... There might be a bumper episode for us, actually.
Yeah, it probably needs to be, yeah.
I think it does. All right, anyway, back to Too Large. So we discussed the title. I want to say now I'm very fickle with my crushes. Before it was Dr. Dev. Now I'm deeply attracted to Dr. Proctor. Deeply attracted. So there's that. So that helped my interest. But let's get to our notes on it. So Dr. Dev is out the window now. I've gone from English doctor to American doctor. And of course, when he popped up, I didn't recognize the name. Kate, you probably did. But the name came up, Dr. Proctor, and I was like, oh, it's the dude from £1,000 Sisters, which, Kate, it's your show.
Oh, yeah. I honestly didn't put that together. I don't know why.
Are you serious? That's like, £1,000 Sisters is like your show.
I know, but I'm so focused on the girls. I don't know. I just did not put that together until just now.
Yeah, no, I looked and I was like, oh, here we go. So my first kind of notes were like, Dr. Proctor's like... I'm getting in on this TLC money. I got my spin off. I'm going to get in on this money. Like, he knew exactly what he was doing.
He's really good on camera. He's natural and...
He's very good on camera. He is indeed. Yeah. Doctor. And you can call me Dr. Proctor. My number is 32... No, okay. So it was him with his own show. And I was like, here we go. And you could tell, I swear to God, since £1,000, he's going to be working out more, getting himself ready for a spin-off. I'm like, these TLC... Man, if you can get one TLC show, because they do spin-offs of everything... Work it right and you'll get your own show. It's dead easy.
He's got headshots. He's got an agent. Jeff the PA is his assistant.
Yeah, Jeff the PA is running around crazy, getting him his protein shakes before he works out for a scene. We know exactly what goes on, Dr. Proctor. So this one was, we only had one season so far, and there's 6 episodes. Yep.
This is a new one. It premiered November 2021.
Is that what it was? Okay, very new then, very new. I'm sure there'll be another one. Because TLC needs to keep exposing these people. But I was quite shocked when I looked at the list of episodes and it was like, it was like kind of a jovial look at like life-threatening weight gain. These are the titles, okay, for the 6 episodes.
Yeah.
We big, but we pretty. Second one, Dr. Proctor is a daddy. I didn't write that one. Third one. Ready to change my life. Okay, whatever. Next one, Fat Girl's Dream. Okay. The original heavy hitter. And the last one, Straight Out of Shape.
Yeah. Like,
so are we going to be, like, what are you doing with this, TLC? Is this going to be a lot more like, yeah, we're really, really fat, but we love it and it's empowering? Like, where, I wasn't sure where they were going to go with it, Kate.
Okay, I have some insider tea here because I went on, so this, we'll get to him, but the second episode, I'm sure you remember, how could you forget, Corey. So Corey has a YouTube channel, and on his YouTube channel, he went through his episode and did a reaction to it, and he talked about how the show was pitched to them and how he was so upset with the producers, and for the whole second half of his filming, the time that he was filming, he refused to film with most of the producers. It wasn't Discovery Plus that he was upset with. It was like the production company. And he said there were only like two people that he felt comfortable producing him because they would actually keep a positive spin on his life. And he points out all this editing they did and everything. But anyway, we'll get more into that. But the pitch that they gave these people is that it is like a younger, more positive My 600-pound Life. Like, it's more like upbeat, you know, and that's what he thought he was getting into and what they all thought they were getting into. So
Kate, you just bring it again with the research. You just bring it again. You know, that makes a lot of sense because, as you say, we'll get to him. We'll dive into it now, but we get to him. And he was playing for the camera as though he had been kind of pitched like, oh, come on, this is kind of cool. You got to be up. You got to be beat. You got upbeat and like fun and got it. That makes a lot of sense. Did he mention Jeff the PA at all in his YouTube video?
He's now dating Jeff the PA.
Oh, I knew it. It's great. Jeff just has to date everyone. Jeff has to do whatever.
Sleep your way to the top.
He does. He's getting there. He's getting there.
He's almost a production coordinator.
Almost. So close. So if we go through them, we've got like six of these. So the first one, I really didn't know if it was going to be, I guess, as they pitched it. We had the first one called Megan. And a lot of these are all in Georgia because
they all were, weren't they?
I think they were. I think you're right. Yeah. And Dr. Proctor, who's apparently a daddy, is in Georgia, and so are 1,000-pound sisters. So it kind of makes sense, right? Were they Georgia? Yeah. 1,000-pound sisters were Georgia, right?
I think so. I'll fact check.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, come on, get the fact checking. So we open, this is how we opened this first episode. They give you like the name and I don't even have her weight on this, Kate, you may. But the first thing you see is the first scene, the first show opens up with her lying in bed, getting up and pissing on a pee pad made for animals next to her bed.
This was really
I really was just like straight out the gate, TLC. I mean, you are just, you're not even easing in. You're just going right in with us. And then she's kind of like, and you know, I just don't get how they get these people to film. They're getting paid. They're not getting paid anything. They're going to be pennies. And they're naked half the time. It's because of their size, they can't wear clothes, a lot of them. And I'm just like, the woman is stood there pissing onto a pee pad.
She's leaning, she's facing her bed. She's kind of leaning forward onto her bed and just letting the pee drizzle down her legs onto the pee pads. And she said it's difficult for her to move quickly enough to get to the bathroom.
Yeah.
We meet her friend.
Hang on, refresh my memory. Who's a friend?
Vanessa, the blonde friend who is very resistant to everything.
Got it. Yeah, because
and her friend, her friend's like, yeah, I pee on myself like 14 times a day.
She said that.
Yeah, and then they start joking around about how they should start a brand of diaper of fabric reusable diapers for obese people.
Because what was going on here is, as you say, you meet Megan, who's a subject of this, as well as Vanessa, I guess, and they've been friends for a really, really long time. Megan was in a terrible marriage, and Vanessa kind of supported her. Both, we meet Vanessa as playing the kind of character of, which, once again, hearing what you've said, Kate, TLC were probably prompting her to do, playing the character of, yeah, I'm really, 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 really overweight, but I'm happy with it. And I'm sexier than Beyonce. And give it, you know, she was like fed these lines by TLC because they go out to eat and Megan's basically going up to Vanessa and saying, I'm sick of what I look like. I'm sick of my lifestyle. And I want to get this surgery. I want to figure it out. And of course, I go to a restaurant to meet. And Vanessa, it's like, it's just all so staged. You hear it all. And she goes, you know what? I know I'm really big, but I think I'm as beautiful as Beyonce. I'm basically a 150-pound woman just with extra skin. Well, you're not, are you? So there's a lot more that's going on there than just skin, love. It was...
And of course, they have Vanessa, who's resistant to the whole process. Mm-hmm. They have her ordering flan. I think it's a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
Flan and a sampler platter and a taco plate. And then they have Megan ordering a salad and water.
I know. It's just like,
it was
giving
very,
me a break.
Yeah.
And this, Megan is in such like a state with her situation. It, you know, she's not only peeing on pee pads, she has this 50-foot cord for oxygen that she has to carry around with her everywhere. It's a really sad, sad, sad situation that they're both in.
She calls it her ball and chain, and it's always getting tangled on the furniture. And her John, boyfriend, who ends up being her fiancé.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler. he reminded me a lot of Michael. He's just very devoted. They met each other playing video games online 10 years ago, I think.
I know.
And now they've been living together. And so he's her boyfriend and caretaker, basically.
Exactly. So... you kind of see it going through just their relationship and Vanessa not... I mean, I realized I didn't have a load of notes about this, but basically Vanessa didn't want anything. And then she kind of came around, right, and admitted that she has a miserable life. You know, it was all this bravado of, I'm fine, I love my life, and I love this, and realize it's a terrible existence.
You find out that Vanessa lived in a car with her mom when she was 4 or 5 years old. And her mom would just give her treats to, you know,
sad.
Make her feel better about their situation.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's kind of how she got started.
After you watch a couple of these, and now I'm an expert because I've watched a couple of episodes of My 600-Pound Life. I mean, and stuff that Kate and I kind of discussed about it. Yeah. You know, these people, Kate made the point of, I was like, of all of these just had these tragic, tragic backstories. And Kate, you made the point of, well, you know, really, there's not going to be someone that's eating themselves to 600-700 pounds that has had a wonderful childhood. And I was like, you're right, but not everyone that's had a, on the flip side, not everyone that's had a terrible, you know, childhood ends up like that. But there's just a lot of these stories of these, you know, the abuse and the tragedy and everything for them. The food is comfort. I mean, it's a massive, massive eating disorder, just as anorexia is or bulimia. So, you know, it wasn't the cheeriest thing to watch, really.
Well, and so the friend who's also on this journey, she's not making as much progress as Megan throughout the episode. She does end up losing, I think, like 20 pounds towards the end. She starts making progress. But what the doctor says, what Dr. Proctor says to her that finally gets through to her is he's like, you don't have to fix this all overnight. Just take it one day at a time. Just wake up and say, I'm going to make good choices today. I don't know about tomorrow. I don't care about tomorrow. Today, I'm making a good choice. And she's like, wow. And it really hits her.
Yeah.
And that's something they tell you, like in AA, you know, it's like one day at a time. And it's a very similar thing. It's an addiction.
It absolutely is. And it is like watching this. It is really, it's sad just seeing that. The majority of them don't work. They don't have anything else in their life. So food is their excitement. Food is their comfort. Food is their go-to. Is there entertainment? It's everything.
Yeah, and it's tough to just to see someone get to the point in their life where they hate themselves, they hate the world, and the only thing that's giving them that serotonin hit is like the sugar and the, you know, processed stuff, and that is how they're hanging on. And so that's why they're clinging so much to it, because they're like, well, what else is going to make me happy? And it's not until they replace that with something else that they can make progress.
Like cocaine. So basically, exactly. All of them end up coke fiends, and they're super skinny. So really, Dr. Proctor is just like, take this, take a couple of these lines, see how you get on. And, you know, but no, it is. So, I mean, really, it's hard because it is the thing that gets me with these shows. And I'm going to get really, really upset when we pull like Hoarders. I know you said, oh, that's one that you kind of watch. Okay, I can't watch that stuff because there's children, there are animals in this. Yeah, I don't know how we're going to cover that, Kate. Maybe you have to do it on your own. Honestly, it really upsets me. And when I watch this, I started watching My 600 Pound Life, I understand it's not as simple as, oh, you're lazy and overweight, figure it out. I really, really understand it's a complex eating disorder. But when these women and men are parents and they have their children wiping them and they have people that, like, one of these will see their mother has is diagnosed with MS. Guess what? This there's nothing she can do to cure that. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And these women and men have chosen to create, you know, become so, so, so unhealthy. And there's points that it's really hard to have sympathy when you see these children and animals, these dogs that don't get taken for walks and cats that are like not looking well. And it's just like, because they've decided to destroy their life.
And I think that's what can start to motivate some people, because they realize, oh, this isn't just affecting me. I'm not just sabotaging myself. I'm also ruining other people's lives, or that's extreme, but like, this is affecting other people. And my loved ones are watching me slowly die because I'm just,
for sure.
I'm refusing to try to get into the car or,
oh, I know, it's, oh God,
you know, so
yeah, this is not an upbeat show. But I mean, what happens at the end of those two? What have I got for Megan and Vanessa?
Okay, so Megan gets the surgery. She loses weight. And her friend Vanessa, like I said, she starts to make progress. She loses like 20 pounds. Okay. But at the end of each of these episodes, they have a gathering where they reveal their weight loss to their friends and family, of course. And so they have this gathering at a park or something, and she looks great. So she lost 160 pounds.
Holy shit. Okay,
she can now go hours without using her oxygen. She can actually go places, walk around. She doesn't have to have her oxygen with her all the time.
Great.
And John is just her guy. He's just gushing about her. Oh, I've seen her become happy, joyous. She's taking care of herself, and she was taking care of other people. I love her so much. Mm-hmm. He proposes, and I actually cried at the end of this episode because there was this moment, and I don't know if the producers made her do this or if she just did it, but so the saddest part of this episode to me was that her dad passed away from kidney failure not too long before she filmed this show. Mm-hmm. And basically his dying wish was for her to take care of herself and get healthy. And so at her reveal, one of her family members is holding his urn. And she his urn. She goes and this was just like, they were pumping me for the tears. She goes and sits on a bench by the water. They're by a lake or something.
Yeah.
And she has her dad's urn next to her. And she, like, has a conversation with him. And she's like, I did it, Dad. I'm taking care of myself.
All right, TLC. You know what? That is so... You know they forced her to do that. They were like, look, let's just get this scene. Get it done.
I still cried. They got me. They got me.
I'm usually crying at these shows, but this one, I don't know. I just thought it was, I mean, basically it's kind of the same thing every week as Kate says. So they go and see Dr. Proctor. Dr. Proctor, you know, is getting all the right camera angles for himself, getting his protein shake from Jeff. And then he's just saying, okay, you want to do this, lose X amount in 3 months, come back, we'll prove you for surgery. And it just kind of is that. And then they come back and they get the surgery. And then you do this really, really cheesy, like, it's kind of like an early 2000s reality show reveal at the end. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's very much like what not to wear when they come out at the end and they're like, look at my new style. Exactly. Except it's like, look, I lost 100 pounds.
Exactly. And then they do a super cheesy, like, rendering. I don't know, it seems so old, like a rendering of them completely, pretty much naked. Yeah. What they looked like before, what they look like now after this weight loss, and then hopefully what they'll look like at their next goal weight. And it's like super fake and weird. It was so dated. It was so strange.
It was very bizarre. They photoshopped them like, oh, and once they lose another 200 pounds, this is what they'll look like. And it's not good.
It's really not good. I mean, a lot of people would look at that and go, fuck that. I'm not losing another 100 pounds.
I think that's what this first lady says. She's like, well, there's some good things about being really fat. You know, you look young because the fat fills out the wrinkles.
That is honestly all these people.
They did look young.
They did. They totally do. Apart from one that looked very, very ill, we'll get to. Yeah. But, you know, there was, I was away this weekend. I was with a friend. And actually, this is very apropos. Her friend just got this surgery done, and she's always been overweight. And so my friend was saying to me, you know, so and so has got this surgery, it's so amazing. And my friend, who is like my sister, but sometimes the tact level isn't really there, which is why I appreciate her deeply. She said to her that, you know, I noticed how much weight she's losing after the surgery, because I was in the car with her, and I said to her name, this is the first time I've ever seen you driving a car and your stomach wasn't hitting the steering wheel. And my friend was just like beaming with pride. She's like, she's doing so well. I said, I don't think that was probably the greatest way to say that, you idiot. And she's like, what, was that bad? I was like, yeah, someone said that to me, I probably would have punched you in the face, but nice try. And she was so sincere. She's like, I was just trying to be really nice. I was like, well, try something else. And she's like, oh, well. But anyway, she was telling me, can you imagine what I said? What was her response? She goes, I don't know. I was like, yeah, because it was probably shock silence. That's what it was. Jesus. Anyway, so that's she told so me that this woman who's had the surgery, of course, you can't get around it, but all the loose skin.
Right.
So she has to get her, she's getting her boobs done, she's getting a tummy tuck, she's getting loose skin taken from the arms, from the thighs, and my friend was like, oh, it's all wonderful. And I said, yeah, she should do everything she wants to make her body feel better, but to me, mm-hmm. it's like under anesthesia again, more surgeries, more money. I don't know how any of these people afford any of this.
That was all I was thinking when you were telling that story. I'm like, that sounds so expensive.
Yeah, seriously. Like, what's a boob job? $10,000? I mean, I don't know.
Eight to ten.
It depends where you get it done, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, yes, I just realized that woman had that done, and my friend destroyed her emotionally. But it's all right. Moving on.
Good intentions.
So Corey. The next one, Corey. Why don't you? Okay, you go into Corey. I just want to say with Corey, he's 28, young guy, gay guy, and the first scene we see is him. They're always naked, mm-hmm. and he's just got a monstrous mixing bowl, and he's just pouring Fruit Loops in, which is basically just sugar. Pouring Fruit Loops into a massive mixing bowl to have for breakfast, proudly, very proudly.
I'll have you know, Corey said on his YouTube channel that he does not do that, and the producers brought the red bowl with them, and he doesn't even eat Fruit Loops. He goes, yeah, I mean, I'm fruity, but I don't eat Fruit Loops. He's really funny. He's really funny, this guy.
He is.
And
What?
He's like, I don't even eat that cereal. He's like, I eat like Wheaties and I don't use a mixing bowl. But they brought the bowl, they brought the sugary cereal, and they made him do that. And then the next thing that happens is his friend slash roommate who lives in the living room, she goes, let's go get donuts. And he goes, they made her say that. Like, they made us go get donuts. They go to the donut store, and so this guy, he's had a rough go at it. He, you know, he came out to his family, and a lot of family members didn't take it so well because of their religion. And basically, he ended up homeless, and he found this organization, this shelter that helped him get him back on his feet. Mm-hmm. He got a job as like a tech sort of guy working from home, and he has an apartment with his friend who he met at this center.
Yeah.
And so they go to the donut shop and they're like, yeah, sometimes we just like to bring donuts back to the homeless shelter to show our appreciation. They go to the donut shop, they order 12 dozen donuts and half a dozen giant eclairs. Okay.
We got to talk about these eclairs. Now, anyone listening is obviously, I presume, is familiar with what an eclair is. So you got the choux pastry. You got the chocolate. It's usually very thin. And as I'm feeling very Parisian tonight, you know, I can discuss this in great detail. Mm-hmm. And in French, gelée. No. So it's, you know, it's always like a nice little thin, I don't know, 6 inches or something.
Dainty what, even.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Choux pastry is always very thin. A cream inside chocolate on top. When they, he was like, what's that? And this, she said, it looks like an eclair, but oversized. And she's like, oh no, it is. Kate, I mean, if you put your two fists together, like side by side, it may, I don't know if that's even the size of it. It was monstrously big.
It was not shaped like an eclair. It was, if you're familiar with a bear claw pastry, it was like two of those put together.
Huge. And they ordered, what, a dozen, right?
Half a dozen. Oh. And then he said they made them like, because after that, they're just chowing down on donuts in the car. And he's like, they had us do that. Like,
I can't believe you found this. I'm surprised he's, I mean, I'm sure TLC is not going to really go up. Well, maybe they will. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot. You sign NDAs. I mean, you can't talk about this stuff. I know. It's a new show as well, by the way.
I was shocked that he was saying what he was saying.
You've got to be careful. Because if we've learned anything, do we want to talk about, we're not going to, don't worry, listeners, but what we've learned from Bravo shows, I mean, all these people suing each other. You start talking about people and especially about the show, you sign so many contracts, you cannot do this stuff. You really can't.
Well, my theory is that they did some really fucked up shit. So he has like blackmail on them basically because he was like, insinuating that they treated everyone on the show poorly behind the scenes. But he was like, he said, I'm only going to speak from my experience and what happened to me. He made sure to say that. But it sounds like some messed up shit went down with some of the other castmates behind the scenes. And so I think that maybe they don't dare do that because then he can reveal what they did. That's,
you know,
my
this
guess.
Is really interesting because out of all of them, you can, it's very, very visible. And by the way, these people didn't have a lot of money. And I thought, all I thought about was that bakery. I was like, that would have cost a fortune for all of us. That's what I kept
thinking.
That's
what he said. That's what he said. What? He's like, I didn't have the money to do that. Yeah. I was just homeless.
That's what I was thinking. It was like, and he's going in there and he's spending, what, $130 on pastries? I'm like, what? Yeah. That's exactly what I thought. But, you know, it makes sense, everything he's saying, because out of all of them, he was playing the part of apparently what was pitched to him. Because he comes on and he's opening the scene and he is playing that very, very vibrant, vivacious, trying to crack jokes, witty. And I thought, oh, okay, so we're going in this direction. Is all of it going to be like that? But he obviously knew how to play the game, was like, this is what I have to do.
I think he was the youngest, so I feel he's more savvy to how this all works.
Right.
And once he's 28, so once he realized kind of how he was being portrayed, because he talks a lot about the camera angles even. He's like pausing it every time. He said, he goes, it's one of the first shots and it's just the camera is pointing up at his belly, basically. Gosh. And he goes, if she could have been in the apartment below me with an x-ray camera, she would have been. He goes, she was on the floor pointing it up at me. And
so bad.
So I think he realized that, and he halfway through basically quote unquote quit, but then ended up filming more with, like, you know, these two people he trusted. But he caught on to them. He was like, I will not look like that. You know,
what's Dr. Proctor doing? Now I'm upset with my future ex-husband. Like, what is Dr. Proctor doing? I'm worried about him now. Why is he playing the game? Well, he's got the spin-off money. He needs the spin-off. He wants the spin-off money.
Yeah, he wants the money.
Did he say anything about Dr. Proctor?
You know, I watched about half hour of it. It is like an hour long. So, you know, I might have to report back on that. But he talks about how he called him a daddy, and he's like,
daddy.
I didn't think that I was a trailblazer in saying that he was a daddy. He goes, I was shocked to find out I was the first person on the show to say it.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
yeah.
So yeah, he's really funny.
It sounds like everyone, if you watch this show or just listen to this afterwards, I'm going to go and check out that YouTube, because that's giving us our agents in the field. He is an agent in the field. He's somewhat, maybe we should contact him.
Oh my God.
Why don't we contact him and ask him to come on the show?
I bet he would. Because he's FYI, really...
we don't have it in the budget to pay you, Corey, but come on the show.
Well, I think maybe he would, because I was on his Instagram and he's very responsive to his fans. He responds to all the comments.
Okay.
And I think maybe he would. And he is a normal person. Like, he's a person I would want to interview and talk to. Okay. So.
All right, so stay tuned for that. Kate and I are going to work behind the scenes on that one, because he sounds like he's actually going to give us some gossip. That would be good.
He opens the video by saying, the tea is scalding.
Of course.
But, he's great. So,
good, because that sounds like some serious goss that we need for agents in the field. Remember, anyone that's worked, knows anything, been on these shows, he's basically a prime example of what we'd want.
Yeah.
So to go into a shoot, that I can't get over that mixing bowl. It's literally like a mixing bowl. You see him pour all these Fruit Loops into it and then eat with a spoon, and that was all set up. I mean, why am I surprised? Oh. It's TLC. We've discussed this before.
Oh, and then, okay, so this is still the first scene.
Okay.
After he's poured the mixing bowl of Fruit Loops.
Yeah.
And then she's like, we should go get donuts. And then they're having this conversation. So his roommate, you know, they're just getting started. They were just homeless. She has an air mattress in the living room. Okay.
Yeah.
And he said that he told the producers, oh, we have a patio with chairs out there. Like, we can just film this scene. We can film this scene and talking out there. And they go, no. We want you to lay on the air mattress with her. And he goes, because they knew I would struggle getting up. And he does.
Dark.
It's like,
he does. It's a whole scene of him trying to get out of the. It's so dark, Kate.
He's exactly who we want to talk to.
Yeah, he actually really is. Okay, so basically his story, we go into, you know, he came out as gay and his dad was fine with it. His mum was not. We've discussed how he was homeless. He had this older military brother that at first was like, oh, here we go. And he was lovely. Like, he loved Corey so much. He's like, I'm going to get you fit, man. I'm going to figure this out. Mm-hmm. I have no notes about how any of these ended up, really. How did Corey end up? He lost weight.
He did lose weight. He, he goes on a date. He goes on a really nice date in the park. It's a picnic of sorts, except all that's in the picnic basket is wine. So, you know, he's our kind of guy.
Absolutely.
It's just wine.
Absolutely.
He's chin like, chin.
Maybe we just get him drunk for the interview. That'd be good.
I mean, it's what we're doing. So he goes on a date with this really cute guy who's super nice, works at a bookstore. And it was really funny because this guy's a manager of a bookstore, and Corey's like, I don't read.
Oh, gosh.
I was like, Corey, come on. You got to lie in that situation. Dude. You got to have a couple books that are just lodged away for when someone's like, oh, what do you like reading? You say,
The Giving Tree. I don't know.
Pride and Prejudice. You know, like, whatever. So he's like, I like watching movies about books. It's really fun. Anyways, and the other reason I loved him is because he's obsessed with Britney Spears, and so am I. I mean,
oh,
she's the background on my phone.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now. I didn't know you had. How have I not known you're obsessed with Britney?
I love Britney.
Is she actually pregnant? She's not pregnant, I think so, right?
Last I heard her on her Instagram, she said she was.
Yeah, she said a lot of stuff on the Instagram. Do you think it's a surrogate? Anyway, that's a whole other thing. But he loves Britney Spears.
So he says in his interview at one point, he goes, if Britney can make it through 07, I can make it through anything. And that was fun. Like, he was the most entertaining, I thought.
He knew what to do with reality TV.
He understood the assignment.
He did. He absolutely did. But I remember the final scene, and I did see, like, he had lost. You could see it kind of up here.
Oh, yeah. He loses a lot. Okay, so he starts. I actually have the weight here. Okay. He starts at 664 pounds, and by the end of the filming, he weighs 393.
That's huge!
Yeah, so he lost a lot, and he went back to college.
Oh, that's great.
And he has his own apartment. He's living on campus. He walks to campus every day. And on his Instagram, he's always going on walks. Like, he's really found a healthy lifestyle, and he's, like, really changing his life. So
that's awesome.
I thought his story was really entertaining and inspiring out of all
it
of
was.
Them.
It was. And then, well, good for you, Corey. Hopefully we will be having a chat with you.
Yes.
One day soon. Moving on to the next one. This was something. Okay. George. Mm-hmm.
George
is 5'7". Okay. So a short man.
Oh, I didn't realize he was that short. That's my height. Well, an inch taller than me.
Okay. He's 5'7". I'm doing a dramatic pause. And he weighs 680 pounds.
Yeah.
I want that to sink in, what his bone structure has to carry.
Yeah.
And this was an interesting one because he actually had a career. Mm-hmm. He was a teacher. So we see him, it starts out, and he teaches very young children. I don't know what.
Kindergarten.
Grade. Is it kindergarten? Okay.
Yeah.
And so he's got these, you know, lovely little children all sat in the classroom, and he sat in the chair, and he states that he cannot move from his chair all day in the classroom because he is so heavy. And he says that, you know, some of the parents go to the receptionist and it's like, I don't want my kids in his class. He can't do anything. I mean, he was going through it. You see, he's very, very passionate about his job. And you can tell all the intention was wonderful. And it seemed very, very honest and sincere.
Yeah.
But the guy was teaching, just sat in a chair. I mean, it was really shocking to watch. It was really shocking.
Yeah, so you see him in the chair for the first 25 minutes of the episode. Like, it was a while. And then he gets up and you're like, oh, okay, you know, there's a lot on this frame. So he's directing the kids from the chair. I also wanted to add one of the parents' concern. Mm. He has parents complain to the principal when the kids get put in his class. One of the parents said, what if he falls on them?
Yes, that's what that's
which
what
he found very insulting, obviously. So anyways, his ex-girlfriend.
Oh,
also,
Sincera.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Sincera. She's another teacher at the school, and we find out that they dated for a whole entire year.
Uh-huh.
And then she broke up with him, but now they're friends, and he says at the beginning of the episode he's still in love with her.
Absolutely.
And she tells us she cares about him, she's fond of him. She's kind of leaving the door open a little bit because she's like, I care about him so much, but she knows he's not in the place to have a serious relationship because she wants him to focus on his health.
Right. Yeah. And I just want to talk about when we kind of meet Sincera, and he believes he's still in love with her at the beginning. That kind of changes throughout, but, you know, he's like, I'm still in love with her. I want to lose this weight for her. I want to get her back. So that's kind of the theme that we're going with. She comes into his classroom where he hasn't moved. She's like, I brought lunch. And I, hearing everything Corey said, this was completely set up by TLC. Brings in lunch and she goes, I got you a sandwich. Okay, all right, fine, whatever. It was like a huge sub. But she then pulls out chips. Now, it wasn't a single serving bag of like Doritos. It was those Doritos that you find in the supermarket that say party size on them.
Yeah.
And then a gallon jug of sweet tea, which is just sugar.
I think production 100%.
So do I.
Jeff went out and bought that at Vons.
Jeff was running around getting the protein shakes, calling Proctor. What do we need from Albertsons? Like, yeah, that was all production because I thought, give me a break. Man, and then we see him go to, he says, every Sunday, you know, I watch football at the house and my family comes over. I mean, the enabling that you see goes on, look, we can understand it if it's a love or whatever, but it's very hard to say no. But the enabling, and he was just like pizza slices and just everything that you shouldn't be eating at his size. But, you know, as you're going on, you see he's a very kind man. You know, he's a kind man. He's very lovable. You can understand.
Oh, yeah.
You're really rooting for him. You're like, come on, dude. And he had to lose 75 pounds in 3 months. That was his first goal. And his three-month checkup, let me see. He was at 680. He went down to 615. 4 months later, he was at 556. Was that his last weight? That was 4 months later.
I think so, yeah. I think he lost like 100 or something.
Yeah. So that was one, and then kind of throughout it, he was like, I want Sincera back, and she was very much like, you know, I need you to get healthy, do it for you, not for me, and I don't really see him that way. And then he changed, and then they had this fake set-up date for him as well. Oh, it was so bad. This woman came over, and he's like, oh, this is my friend, and I've wanted to ask her for it. By the way, all of these people are dating a hell of a lot more than me. Like, I just want that pointed out, by the way. She comes over and he's like, oh, I cooked you dinner and and
lobster and chocolate covered strawberries, and he feeds her a strawberry.
It was painful.
And then he goes, really painful. Ooh, you want to go watch a movie? And she's like, yeah, maybe.
Oh,
and
you saw like, face. She was like, oh.
She's like, yeah, we could watch. She did that thing where she's like, we could watch a movie. We could.
We could. And I don't want to, but we could.
And he's kind of like, Netflix and chill. Dang. And she's like, oh God.
Dang. It was really cheesy. That's production. So George ended up, who knows where George is now, but hopefully he carried on a good trajectory because he lost some weight.
He was a nice man
and he has some good people around him. Then we get to a really, if you thought the ones before were bad, I mean, some of them were just kind of like whatever, and the peeing on the pee pad and the abuse, all this stuff was bad. This one was very, very hard. We get to Jennifer. She's 45 years old. She has a son, Alex, and a husband, Brent. And you can tell they have a very, very tight bond, the three of them. They really, really did. The son, Alex, like, loved her and was doting on her. And he was already getting very, very heavy himself, which Daddy Proctor was like, okay, we need to think about this. You know, we need to get you healthy. And it was hard to see the beginning because, you know, at first it was just like, this is just the son is bringing her breakfast and it's... She has a breakfast dessert and a breakfast Pepsi. And, you know, the woman is just ill. There was a first person on this. I mean, trust me, you know, you're looking at the body and you can see that they're unwell people. But she, you could see in her face, her eyes, her skin. Did you notice that? It was just different for her.
Yes.
Yeah.
She was really drained.
She was. Her eyes were constantly watering and she just had a look about her and she said, you know, she gained 150 pounds during pregnancy. You know, just take that in 100. That's a weight of a human being, like 150 pounds.
Well, and she was 250 when she got pregnant too. So it's like, yeah.
And, she was in a car accident. She kind of blamed that for a lot of stuff.
She has hypertension, AFib, congestive heart failure. She's got probably definitely the most serious health problems of any of the people on this season.
It was intense watch. And it was very hard because in my notes I wrote what we saw. And now obviously we know what TLC does. But she was kind of the one, Kate, that I thought was much more shameless about the eating of kind of the rubbish, like joking about a breakfast dessert. And I was like, right. Enough of this. But who knows? This could have been, once again, if she was told you're getting cast to be the quirky, funny, you know, mother. Like, I don't know. So we see her journey. And she obviously does the same thing. Proctor, get this amount of weight off. We'll get you into surgery. All of these people have surgery. You know, no one's denied. She has her surgery. And then, of course, they have to do, like, I think it's maybe 3 months of liquid. No, a month. Liquid diet. So not a bit of solid food. They're just having broth. And it's, like, tiny, tiny amounts of broth. That's all they can consume.
Right.
So you see her doing that. And her husband, Brent, is a chef. So he's, you know, eating whatever, and she's just having broth. And we kind of see a scene where after the surgery, Brent's going back to work and they're like, I love you, I love you. And she's like, I'm have some broth later again or whatever, jokes about it. And then it cuts to a black screen and it was just the date of her birth and the date of her death. Jennifer died.
Unfortunately, 2 months after filming, she got another infection. So that's something she deals with in the episode. She has an infection in her leg. She gets another unrelated infection, which leads to sepsis, which ends up ending her life. So this one was incredibly dark. And
yeah,
I really feel for her family because they were super close.
And they were. They really, really were. That son, Alex, you know, what I hope for them is that maybe Alex lost the weight and that both of them, you know, I don't know, could do that for her and do that for himself so they are never in that position. I don't know. It was really sad seeing that. I was like, oh, God, a death, really?
Oh, because I don't even think we mentioned she has a very big lymphedema growth on her leg.
Of course.
We didn't even mention that. That's like the biggest thing about the episode. So it's a massive growth on her leg. Mm-hmm. It's, how would you describe the size? I mean,
I don't know. It's like someone's thigh that is attached to their thigh. And it is just, you're carrying around another whatever pounds of weight hanging off. It's like, imagine a monstrously inflated skin tag, and it's just, but it's heavy and it's filled with fluid. And this happens a lot. I've seen it in 600 Pound Life as well. They just come out. It's usually the legs, and they're just having to lift it to carry it.
It's so cumbersome. You know? it's just gotten worse and worse. She says that when it first started, after the car accident, she goes, my skin was really smooth, you know, baby smooth. And now it's like tree bark and the skin is so thin and I can feel it getting heavier every day. Every day I can feel the change in my leg and it's very painful. And it was just a whole other element that she was dealing with as well. And the infection. And I think she has a fall.
I know.
It was tough.
She did have a fall. She did. It was a really hard episode, not obviously due to the death, but there was just, the woman was ill, really, really ill. And you could tell at the beginning. So RIP to Jennifer and, you know, hopefully Alex and Brent are doing well wherever they are.
The son was young because he was only 19 so he's 19, 20 right now. He's like going to school or something.
And then, okay, we have two left. So basically we have Jasmine. Yep. I really, really like this woman. This was a woman that wanted to get the weight off.
Yeah.
She was 6'4". She went down to 5'4". She was part of this group called Heavy Hitter, where it was all overweight women. And I was like, oh no, they're going to be like, you don't need to lose weight. But they were actually very, very supportive. Mm-hmm. She had a lovely child, and then her mum has MS, and this is where you're like, okay, you need to get your shit together. And she was the same. She's like, my mum looks after my child because I can't, and she's just been diagnosed with MS, so I need to get it together. So she really, really worked on that. I'm trying to think of anything else.
She was living with her sister, so it was like her sister, her sister's kids, and then her and her kid. And I think the sister was kind of the most of enabler type person. And so her scene, like they, at the beginning of every episode, they have what I call like the fat meal, you know, where they're like, look at what they eat, get a load of this. And so her sister comes in, she's like, oh, I have pancakes and sausage. And and don't forget the butter. Don't forget the syrup. Oh, and there's a hash brown.
Food.
And that was the like producer fed part that I thought was really obvious.
Yeah, it was. There's so many scenes like that. But, you know, I wrote down here that she kind of was the poster child for people in it that wanted to change as opposed to the ones that don't. She was someone that genuinely wanted to succeed as opposed to these half-hearted people. And she did. And she's going to be successful in whatever she does.
Yeah. Yeah. She was very motivated. I think she was... Some of them are just so deep in the depression of it.
And stubborn.
Stubborn and self-sabotaging and just in a really, really... dark, mucky place where it's hard to get out. And she wasn't there. Like, she, you know, she was motivated and positive about it. So, yeah, it was good.
Agreed. So she did well, and they did the big reveal at the end where it's kind of like, and it was so stupid because they line up their family and all of them are like, I haven't seen anyone for ages. But it's like, well, you live with half of them. They all know what you're like. Anyway. The final one we get to was a rough one as well. Let's say this. So, name's Jessica. She's 5'4", okay, and 31 years old. 5'4", very small woman, 31 years old, and she weighed 708 pounds. 708 pounds on a 5'4" frame.
Oh.
I mean, you don't understand how the joints, the muscles, you don't understand how the organs haven't failed. And to top this, we open it with her going through the medication she has to take, and she was diagnosed with uterine cancer or endo. She was diagnosed with a cancer, and that she needs to get a hysterectomy, but because of her weight, she couldn't get a hysterectomy to get rid of the cancer, so she's on pills. She says, keep the cancer asleep. So she goes to Dr. Proctor, and he's not a doctor now, but a doctor now. sometimes I hear myself, and it's like, I'm sorry, listeners. But Dr. Proctor just says to her, you are an extremely ill woman. You are very, very ill. And she's like, yeah, I know. Cut to a scene where the mother... has made her like she comes over, the mother makes her some charcuterie board or something to eat with broccoli and just, it's all vegetables. And she just goes, ugh, I wouldn't eat broccoli if it was the last thing on earth. And trying to be, and I'm just like, you know what? You have cancer that you can get in remission, that you can get removed from your body, and you are still not doing anything. And this quote I wrote down, this is the one that really sent me. She said, I'm stronger than other people because you people don't know what it's like to not fit into clothes.
Okay.
And I just thought, okay, you know, the arrogance she had, and I know the arrogance was covering up her deep insecurities, but for those words to come out of your mouth and you have cancer, I mean, it really was disgusting to me. I was very angry. I didn't like this at all. And then when she goes in and, you know, is told how many, she has to lose 50 pounds in a month. And her quote was, well, if it works, it works. But, you know, there's definitely going to be bumps along the way. So we'll just see. Just no accountability for her creating an entire mess of her life. Any desire to fix it. I couldn't even watch. Didn't even finish it.
It's a total disconnect from reality. It's like delusion and...
Absolutely. It is. Self-sabotage. It's a fantasy. I didn't even finish that one. I don't know what happened to her, but I was like, I can't. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this with you. Honestly. It was too much for me. I was just like, it just... Yeah. So that was the last. That was the last one. Did you watch the end of it, Kate?
I didn't see the end of that one. Yeah. The thing I was. Oh, this is what I was going to say. Is like, when you've watched enough of this and 600 Pound Life, what you realize is that when you are morbidly obese, you know, 400, 500, 600 pounds, 700, losing 50 pounds, it just comes off. Like,
it comes off.
In a month, you can lose 50 pounds.
Like, if you and I were trying to lose 50 pounds, I mean, that's a massive thing to lose. But when you have so much to lose, falls off you. If you just take that one bit of fucking advice, listen, and don't have breakfast desserts. Oh, don't drink Pepsi. Don't
Exactly. If you cut out pop, or sorry, soda, Midwestern. If you cut out, if you cut out soda, you would drop 50 pounds in a month.
That's all.
Yeah. In contrast, I have lost 50 pounds in a year, and it has been like, I thought that was crazy.
That is amazing. Thank you.
Yeah,
amazing.
Quarantine. I really gained the quarantine pounds, like, big time.
You look hot as shit. Game.
Thank you.
What can I say?
Thank you. Anyway, so, you know, I've been to an overweight place. And I definitely, I haven't been to an obese place or morbidly obese.
Right.
But definitely overweight, like, high BMI. I'm only 5'6". You know, I got very high. And, you know, over a year have gotten rid of 50 pounds. So to think of in a month losing that, that's like.
But all these professionals, like, it's completely feasible you can do it because there is so much on your body. You could lose it easily. And all of them are still like, well, they come back and they're like, well, I lost 12 pounds. And you're like, give me a break. Give me a break. I just.
Yeah.
It was hard to watch.
The first episode with the friend Vanessa, she had so many excuses. She's like, I don't have a support system. Meanwhile, she's FaceTiming her friend who is like motivating her every single day. She's like weighing herself. She weighs herself at the friend's house before her official weigh-in at the doctor, and she finds out she hasn't lost weight. And she's just like, I don't get it. That's messed up. I don't understand. No. She gets fucking furious. And her friend's like, well, let's figure it out. What have you been eating? What have you been doing?
Nothing.
And she's like,
I've just been, I mean, I'm fine.
Well, I've been, and then the truth comes out and it's like, I haven't done anything different. And it's
it's just,
why.
It's a lot. So, I mean, that show, so really, I mean, we've probably spoken too much about it. That's essentially what it was. It was five, 6 episodes of the same thing. But I did like that background info on Corey. So, guys, go and look up Corey Too Large YouTube. I'm sure you'll find something that would be interesting to watch.
I'll try to remember to link it in the episode description.
Yeah. That would be really good. That'd be really good. Pounds of Learning. I realized I was so angry by the end of Jessica. I didn't put my pounds of learning. Kate, you go first while I think about this. What did you put?
I'm in the same boat as you. I was furiously typing, so I didn't even. But let me think. Let me think. So, pounds of learning. I think
600 is our max. We want to go. What did we learn? What did we really learn? Go on. What have you got?
You know, I'll give it 100. I'll give it 100, a flat 100.
Okay. I'm going to give it 54.
Okay.
I'm going to give it 54. I didn't learn a lot and I got angry. But I'll give the 54 to Corey's YouTube expose. That's what I'll do. That's what I thank you, Corey.
Yeah, a lot of that rating is due to Corey.
Corey, exactly. All right, perfect. So before we head on to our next show, I think we should take a little break. What do you think, Kate?
Yeah, let's take a break.
Perfect. We'll be right back. Hello, it's Pauline here, and I'm jumping into the middle of the convo very quickly to first of all thank you all for listening and supporting us on our podcast journey so far. And to let you know, we have a new segment we're preparing for ongoing poddy episodes. We have a call to action to anyone listening that can become one of our agents in the field. In future episodes, we will be including stories and tales sent in by you, our dear listeners, to give us the inside scoop. If you or anyone you know of has been on a TLC show, worked on a TLC show, has been a long-suffering PA on a TLC show, or has just any kind of insight and knowledge of what goes on behind the scenes, we want to hear from you. All submissions will be kept completely anonymous. Just email us at tenderlovingcarepod@gmail.com. You're amazing, and back to the show. Okay, and welcome back. Let's move on to our second show. All right, so the Wheel of Shame chose for our second show, Buddy Velastro, Road to Recovery. Beloved baker, Buddy Velastro severely injures his hand in a freak accident. With the help of his family, Buddy is determined to do all it takes to overcome this major setback and reclaim his title of cake boss. I'm going to do all these synopsis now, dramatic readings, I've decided. Yeah. Really going to pull all my training, my theatre training, and I'm just going to do a good dramatic reading of them all.
That fits.
So you can look forward to that in future episodes. All right, so we pulled this and we talked about it a little bit last week. So Buddy Velastro became monstrously successful as a baker and then got this show Cake Boss, which has about a billion seasons, I'm sure, and I'm dreading when we get to it. He makes super elaborate cakes. I've never watched it. I knew who he is. And this is the prime example, as I said, of TLC going, let's make spin-offs of everything that we possibly can think of. Let's drain every cent we can out of any of these. So someone nearly loses an appendage and they're like, get the cameras.
Jeff.
Jeff has like finally got like half a day off from working. And they're like, Jeff, get to New Jersey.
Bobby impaled his hand.
Or Buddy. Sorry, Buddy.
Bobby. That's how much it means to us. Jeff, you get in that production van and you drive to New Jersey now.
Now,
so amazing. He's going from Dr. Proctor's in Georgia all the way up to New Jersey. I mean, Jeff, you are working so hard for us.
He's so tired.
It starts off, I had heard about this. Essentially what it was is this guy is extremely, extremely talented, has made his fortune from these elaborate cakes, as we say, and then becomes so successful due to the TV show he's done and all these celebrities get his cakes, etc., etc. And I had remembered seeing it on the maybe it was screenrant.com or one of those really great websites that Kate always pulls from, maybe even TMZ, maybe we were even at TMZ, that he had had this accident with a bowling alley in his house and that he had nearly lost a thumb. That's kind of all I knew about it. So when this came up, I was like, oh, for God's sake, we're going to find out about this is what it's about. So it is the most dramatic opening, guys.
Oh my god.
It is security.
I have a paragraph about this.
Okay, good. I just want to say it opens up security camera footage and someone running out on a cell phone as though honestly there had been a mass murder in this gargantuan Jersey house, which just imagine what a gargantuan Jersey house looks like. It looks like that. Like Teresa from Real Housewives of New Jersey. It's like that. It's like
precisely
that. Yeah. And so she's on the phone. I heard a scream. And Kate, you take it from there. If you have a paragraph, take it, because I don't have the words to describe what this opening was. Melodrama.
Okay, this is the opening. You hear birds chirping. They start panning over this suburban New Jersey neighborhood. There's trees and everything. Then they slowly come down to this hideous mansion with wilted Halloween decorations in front. And then you get the voiceover from the 911 call. 911, what is your emergency? My husband, something with the bowling alley. He's stuck in the bowling alley. Is he injured? What's going on? I don't know what's happening. Please come. Okay, we're sending someone. Someone's on their way. That's the opening.
It was so already I'm angry. As we know, very quick to rage. I'm very quick to rage. So I'm angry just because, according to what I kind of read or known, is this guy, and obviously his hands are his money, I understand, but had nearly lost his thumb. Okay, so that's kind of all I knew. And this is a house, it was a Sunday, so Everyone's over for the sauce. They're making sauce. They're making the pasta. We're watching the football. Got the game on.
Got the Giants.
Whoever it is. And so there's a billion people in this house, by the way. I think I've been to house parties with less people than there was in this house. It was all cousins and his aunt. And everyone's called Joey. Everyone's Joey. Hey, Joey people. Jr. Buddy Jr. Bobby Jr. I'm sure was there as well. Okay. Anyway, so you see the drama of them running around. Then what we have to sit through. By the way, this was a one-off. I think it was a 45-minute or something I wrote down. What we have to sit through is TLC doing these one-on-one dramatic interviews with every single one of this goddamn 800-person family.
What was it like?
I didn't know what to do. I heard a scream. I didn't know what was happening. I ran. And then I threw up in the bushes. There was one woman that was just like, and they take her outside. She's like, here's where I saw it. And I threw up. I threw up right here in the bushes.
That was his sister. Oh, she's like, I couldn't deal with it.
Oh my God.
I couldn't deal with it. I didn't know what to do.
I didn't know what to do. I had no idea.
I threw up. I didn't know what else to do. If it was just me and him. I don't know what would have happened.
I don't know. And then you get the kids going, you know, when I heard Dan, I know what I was running. And it's like that you go through about 20 minutes of them reenacting this. You're like, for God's
sake. Oh my God, it is insane.
And then these shots of the bowling alley. So essentially what happened is they have this bowling alley in their house. Of course they do. They have a house in New Jersey. So they... Sorry. God, he has massive amounts of fans, by the way. I don't know if this is going to go down very well.
He has 4.2 million Instagram followers.
I just was on, don't ask me why, I was on Gigi Hadid's Instagram, and she just had a birthday party, and she tagged him as doing the cake. So, whoops. I think he's got a ton of fans.
He's like king of brand deals. Yeah, he's everywhere.
So, listeners, stay with us. So essentially what happened is everyone was over for the sauce, the pasta, watching the game. So he decided to go and get, bringing in that accent work, bringing it back. So he goes downstairs to fix something with the bowling alley. It was something was stuck behind it. And they are notorious for never touching any of that shit because people have lost their hat. It's like, that's kind of common knowledge, I think, with those stuff. It's really dodge. So... he goes in and someone goes, and I just heard a scream. It was the worst scream. I don't know why they always have a little bit of a lisp when I do it. Or a little bit of a, you know, they I don't know what it is. Anyway, so she goes, I heard this scream and it was the worst scream I ever heard. And I'm waiting to just see him. I'm waiting to see the injury, right? Because I thought his thumb was kind of nearly disconnected, cut off. Yeah. So I can talk about my mistakes sometimes. And when they showed what happened to this man, audible. And I'm someone that reads autopsy reports casually.
God.
His hand had, they showed it. They showed him, the first thing you see is him in the emergency room. The floor was covered in blood. And when I say covered in blood, it was covered in blood on the floor of the emergency room. This man had, all I can describe it is because I'm drinking a Corona right now. Imagine a Corona, what is this, a 12 ounce, and it's pretty much solid metal, like heavy steel.
2 pounds steel sort of rod.
And you see this has gone through the middle of his hand. And there is a blood. I don't know how his fingers survived. I don't know.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I read. Okay. I did my extra research. Okay.
Screen around.
And I have a play by play of how this happened.
Go.
So, okay. It's the bowling alley. There's this whole back area where you can go in if you need to repair it or fix it or something.
Right.
And so the mechanism, it's called a pin setter, right? Mm-hmm. It's like picking up the pins and putting them in place. And there's this little part, and it's sort of like a fork, you know, it's there's a space where his hand got wedged and stuck in this thing, and then there's a part that goes in between the fork, this rod that we've described, and it went slowly through his hand three different times.
What?
Yeah. It like went in and out, in and out three times. And then his sons, I think, like they had to like saw him out from what I read. But anyways, this is horrific. And I'm jumping ahead, but when he gets back from the hospital the first night and his entire family is still there,
I caught with that.
There's like 30 family members crowding around him.
Seriously.
He's still nauseated.
Yeah, from the anesthesia.
Yeah. And they're just like, oh, how you doing? Are you okay? What's going on? And
suffocating.
So suffocated. And one of his family members, I think it was one of his sisters or something, and she literally goes, did you feel it going through your hand? And he goes, yeah, I felt it going through my hand.
No, I didn't. It was like walking on air, love. And this, I think this was the same woman that's like, hey, TLC cameras, let me show you where I threw up in the bushes. Hey, it was moronic. Like TLC had to grab every single second out of this. But I will admit, when I saw that thing in his hand, the man's hand was mangled. Like it was, and they show you the blood. There's no circulation in his fingers. You're like, how is he going to keep this hand? It was really bad. It's so you really see bad. Him there. And then they have them. Okay, so the wife has gone with Buddy to the hospital when this happens. And then, of course, they have the setup. So they just have all of the 800 family members around this kitchen table. And they all just are going over it again and again. And what did you? Oh, I heard this. And then I heard this. Yeah, so did I. Like someone had been shot through the head. I mean, like there had been, trust me, this was a horrific incident, and this man's hand is his moneymaker. I get it. By the way, I know what Kate's going to say. Kate is literally chomping at the bit. Go ahead. I know exactly what you're going to say. Go on. What did someone say?
Did you notice that's pretty much the first thing that his wife brings up?
The wife goes, how am I? It was, this isn't a direct quote. But I know I wrote it down. It was something along the lines, I'm paraphrasing. That's it. Okay. The wife says, without his hand, we can't have what we have here.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
That shocked me.
Okay.
Actually.
I was, darling, do you know what you're saying and that you're being recorded? I mean, why would you say that without his, we can't have what we have?
And keep in mind, listeners, this is like right after it happened. She's getting interviewed, I think, at the hospital or something.
Yeah.
It's like, it's very soon after her husband has gotten this terrible injury. And what she says is, well, his hands are everything. Without his hand, we can't have what we have. We can't have our possessions, basically.
That's what it was. It's not like, but how is he going to work? That would be understandable. How would he work now? It was, we can't have what we own. We can't have our possessions. It was a bizarre statement. Gross statement.
And then in contrast, later on in the special, one of his bakers, Jessica.
Okay.
It's his baker, Jessica. She's getting interviewed and she has the reaction that you should have. She goes, I'm not even thinking of him making cakes. I'm just thinking, is he all right? Keep his hand? Yeah. And it's like, yeah, that's what you say.
It was jarring to hear that. And good for you, TLC, for sticking it in there. Because this buddy, he has a lot of power over at TLC. So I'm glad they kept that in there. So, you know, they're all sat around this table and it's like 20 minutes worth of this 45 minute episode of them just going, and then I heard this and I didn't want, and then they just take all of them on a sofa and get them to talk about it. It's like, all right, we get it. So then he comes home from the hospital. And as Kate says, this is not an exaggeration. I felt nauseous watching it.
Yeah.
There's a guy has come home and they're all like, I can't believe he's home. Oh my God, this run out. So they all run out to him. And the kids are like, I think he has like 100 kids or something. And there are, I think he has like four.
We cannot stress enough. There are 800 people in this home.
There were so many people. And it's just, you know what? It's not, it's the amount, but they're bombarding him with questions. They're talking about, this guy comes out of the, and you can see he's out of it on medication.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And nauseous from, and because he's had surgery to get it removed, obviously. They removed it at the hospital. So, and they had to cut more out to get it out. And so he's drugged up and he's out. And after any anesthesia, I think I've had anesthesia once for wisdom teeth, but he feels so sick out afterwards. Right. So they get him in. The kids run up to him. Okay, fine. Then there's an aunt and a cousin and a Joey Jr. and Joey Sr. and Joey. And they're all up and they're like, come in, come in. Oh, get him to sit down. Is he going to be sick? Oh, is someone going to be sick? Oh, is he going to be sick? Let me get him a bag. Let me get, do you want to go outside? Let's get him outside.
It is a cacophony of exaggerated concern. It is
stop. He couldn't breathe.
And they're physically
close to him. Yeah, they're physically on him. I don't know how I would have punched the fuck out of all of them. I would have been furious.
I was waiting for was waiting for the wife to be like, all right, let's give him some space.
No one
did. And no one said that. And he's just like,
it's like, let's all play up to the stereotypical overzealous Italian family. That's what it was. So they all played the scene. Do you know what I mean? It was like, I thought someone's going to feed him pasta in a minute. Someone's going to put pasta down his throat. And so they get him outside and he's just out of it. And then the rest of the show really is, you know, he's like, do I have to learn to do everything left-handed? And he has to have emergency surgery the next day because he could have lost the hand, something to do with the muscles.
It's like swollen. Yeah. Yes, the muscle's dying. Yeah. And they take out more of the metal. And then he's doing a lot of physical therapy. And there's this scene of him doing physical therapy at the dining room table. And he's like moving his finger over a pen and stuff like that. And then he starts squeezing this ball. And it is like the most dramatic music is playing. It's like
the music.
And he's just squeezing a ball.
You're not exaggerating. I wrote down the music was ridiculous. So I actually didn't even finish it. I was like, well, we're still making cakes. Gigi Hadid just got a big cake from him, so I'm sure everything's fine.
I'd be remiss to leave this part out.
What?
Because it made me laugh so hard. So he's gotten the second surgery because the hand was swollen, the muscles dying. So all anyone can talk about is him not being able to work because he's a huge presence at this they have like this whole production because it's COVID, right? So they're like shipping out these cakes, you know, so many cakes. It's a whole assembly line.
Yeah.
And normally he's there running the show. And so everyone's kind of freaking out that he's not there. And, you know, his sister, someone's like, this is a nightmare. And then his brother-in-law, Mauro Castano.
Of course.
He's managing.
I can't. I know what you're talking. I can't with this guy.
He's managing the production line, and he's just like trying to get everyone really ramped up about it. He's trying to motivate. Yeah. He's basically trying to be like a football coach at halftime.
Yeah.
It's a tied game, you know.
Yeah.
And he's like, he just starts screaming at the people in the production line. He goes, we got 4,700 cakes to send in one day. 4,700. He just keeps yelling that.
Screaming.
We're going to do it. We're going to do it the way we always fucking do it.
And I looked at him and I thought, well, you're about to have a heart attack. This man's really overweight. And he's spitting everywhere. I'm like, so all of these cakes basically have spit on them. And I was just like, you know what? Can we just downplay? We get it. You're Italian. Well, you're not Italian. You're American. But you have Italian ancestry. You're in New Jersey. You're tough as shit. I get it. And you're worried about the brother-in-law. So you can't cope. You can't cope. I get it. It was so embarrassing. I got embarrassed watching it.
Oh, yeah. That was amazing. I mean, they're all just very worried about the bottom line. And I'm like, I'm like, this is so put on. This guy is worth $10 million, okay?
I'm sure that's an understatement. I'm sure the amount of deals he has.
And Kate does her research. Mm-hmm. I read on thesun.com.
Hang on. The Sun, as in the English newspaper, The Sun. Have we gone up?
US, there's like a US version of the website. There is a US version.
Kate, we're going up. We've gone from Screen Rant to a terrible British tabloid. So, okay. Good girl.
I thought you'd like that.
Yep.
So anyways, thesun.com reported that he took out $2.3 million in PPP loans during the pandemic. And they were chastising him. They're like, this guy's a multi-millionaire. Wow. Like, and he took out millions of dollars in PPP loans.
Yeah, of course he did.
And I thought that was funny that they're just like, they're freaking out as if the place
everything's going to fail. I was like, he has like 15 endorsements with like Walmart and Target and all that. You're fine. But it's because all of these people live off him. But anyway. Let's not touch on that.
The family business.
I didn't watch the end of it, but I'm sure he's fine, right?
So I'll just kind of wrap it up here. So he's his big lesson that he learns, how they kind of tie it up in a bow, is it's him learning to step back and let his staff do what they know how to do. He's teaching his sons how to pipe the cakes, and the sons are learning the family business. He makes this elaborate cake for the hospital staff, which mm-hmm. is really nice, and mm-hmm. it was super impressive, actually. It's like a replica of the hospital. And then there's a dramatic scene where he goes back down to the scene of the accident.
Stop. Was it in black and white? Tell me they shifted to black and white.
I mean, it wasn't that far off from being slow motion black and white. He is pensively looking at the machine that mangled his hand, and he's like, I don't think I'll be going in there and turning that on anytime soon.
I thought you were going to say he'd look at it and just go, you son of a bitch.
He does look at it, and he's like, I can see specks of my blood on the wall. And then his sons are like, you better not be going in that, Pops. And then he's like,
hey. Pops! And then he's like,
And then he's like, hey, Bobby, maybe we should have gotten a pool table, huh?
Did you just call him Bobby again?
Well, I was making up a name for his son. I don't know.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying that I'd Buddy, love it if you just kept calling him Bobby. Let's just call him Bobby. Bobby. At this point.
And so he's like, but you know what? There's a part of me that really wants to just keep this here and bowl a strike.
No, and he didn't say that.
He did. And then it's Thanksgiving dinner. And
is there sauce? There's got to be sauce. Cannolis! It's going to be great.
That's another part. Right when he gets back home from surgery, he sets up FaceTime and he's like giving orders and he's like, oh yeah, cannolis at Christmas time from, what's the bakery called? It's his dad's name.
That's how much I paid attention. Bobby. Let's just call it Bobby's Bakery.
Bobby's Bakery. cannolis at Bobby's Bakery at Christmas time. Is there anything more special? Anyway, so then it's Thanksgiving. They're going around. What are you thankful for? And he's like, I'm blessed. I'm lucky to say I'm the cake boss. And the boss will be back. And that was the end.
We wasted 45 minutes of our life. I mean, you know what? I didn't even waste 40. I think I watched 30 minutes of it and it was a waste of time.
It was like an hour and a half.
Was it really?
It was long.
I see why. Oh, God. Well, look, so pounds of learning. Once again, I didn't give this. I completely forgot to rate both of these. Go ahead. What did you give Buddy Velastro Road to Recovery?
Okay. I didn't explain the pounds of learning, actually. The first time, so I'll just quickly say it's our way that we rate each show, what we thought of it, how much did we learn, how entertained were we.
Yep.
I based it on one of the most popular shows on the network, 600 Pound Life. That gives us a huge range to choose from. So yes. 0 to 600 is what we rate it, pounds of learning. So I rated it 89 pounds of learning because I was entertained by these by how ridiculously serious it was.
I learned where the sister threw up, so I'm going to give it 33 pounds of lead.
Okay, that's fair.
That's fair. All right, yeah. So we struggled through that, but once again, yep. Doing it yep. all for you, the listeners, doing it for you in Switzerland, doing it for you in Germany, doing it for you in wherever you're watching.
Perth,
Australia. Thank you. Okay, so we've come to the end of our two discussions, our two breakdowns of the show. This means it is time to do the thing that always gets me all of a flutter. We are going to go to our Wheel of Shame. And just to clarify, our Wheel of Shame is the wheel that we have put together that lists all of the roughly 113 and counting shows on the TLC network. We spin it randomly every week. We take whatever we get. We do not fight the Wheel of Shame. Whatever it gives us, we accept. We give an offering each week, and whatever it gives us, it gives us. And all I'm going to say is the ones that we mentioned at the beginning of the show, Hoarders and My 600 Pound Life, if they are on this, that if they're on this poll of this spin of this wheel, that's going to be spook-a-duke. That's going to be spook-a-duke. Kate, wild. You ready?
I almost said I'll do the heavy lifting, and then I realized.
Boom, boom. All right. Ooh. Are you ready?
Spin it.
And once again, let's just mention it. What is the one both of us are dreaming of?
Darton Stace.
And? Okay.
Alaskan women, yes. Looking for love.
Thank
Alaskan
you.
Alaskan women looking for love.
We Alaskan got women. A Darce Stace or Alaskan women. So, Wheel of Shame. We bow down to you, and we offer ourselves up, our intellect up, for tribute. And let's see what we get. All right, I'm going to spin. Come on, give us, please. I get so nervous. I get so nervous. I can't have a hoarding. Kate, I can't do any of those. I really can't.
What is it? What is it?
Ah.
What is it?
Okay. See, I pull it on my end and Kate doesn't know. She's just seeing my reactions. This is a bit close. We've got Return to Amish.
Oh.
Now, listeners will remember we already covered Breaking Amish. This is the spin-off where everyone from Breaking Amish goes back and returns to Amish or whatever. Okay. We don't go against the Wheel of Shame. The Wheel of Shame gave it to us. We say thank you and move on.
Wheel of Shame has spoken.
So, you know, I think it was episode 10, and this is going to be 4 episodes later, we're back to the Amish. But
yep.
What can we do? That's what they gave us. All right, Kate, Return to Amish is our first one. Please write that down because I've had a couple of beers and I won't remember. All right, next one. Are we ready for the next spin?
Yes, I can't wait.
Okay, spinning. This is really good. Got the Alaskan. We know you're on here, Alaskan woman. We know you're on here. Come on, what if you get? Okay. I'm all right with this. All right. Extreme couponing. This is
okay.
Going to be these lunatics that that just do this extreme couponing. Yeah, I'm okay with that, Kate, because it's going to be Looney Tunes. They're all going to be Looney Tunes.
That's a good balance, I think.
I think it's a good balance.
Yeah.
So, guys, if you're listening and watching along with us, you need to watch Extreme Couponing and you need to watch Return to Amish so you can follow along and know the cast of characters that we will be breaking down. And I put that very kindly, next week. So go ahead, watch them. Or if not, we will be sure to provide you with a very thorough descriptions of all of these Looney Tunes. All right, to remove those from the Wheel of Shame. So that's our assignment for next week. Before we go, I'm going to do some plugs for our social media. Please go ahead. And I always feel bad saying please. If you would like to, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Tender Loving Care Pod. And on Instagram, we do a lot of show-related memes, things that we think are funny. And we also fight with a lot of people that apparently want to fight us. We're getting into a lot of arguments on our Instagram. So, yeah, go ahead and see how we interact with our trolls. It's something. So we are on Instagram and TikTok at Tender Loving Care Pod. Follow us on Twitter as well at TLC Poddy. Email, as always, we've already discussed Agents in the Field if you just want to reach out to us. Not the trolls. TenderLovingCarePod@gmail.com. TenderLovingCarePod@gmail.com. And Kate, over to you to do your own little pluggy plug plug.
Sure. I have another podcast called Mostly Bravo. You can check out if you'd like. Wherever you listen to podcasts, our social media is at Mostly Bravo.
Perfect. And my plug is I created a line of all things Real Housewives. If you love this junk TV, I'm sure you love junk TV of Bravo, which are the they are the rulers of reality TV, Bravo and Housewives. Created notebooks, t-shirts, sweaters, all some really, really fun themed things all surrounding the Real Housewives. You can find everything on my Instagram at abritinthesun, B-R-I-T in the sun. I think that's it, Kitty K.
All right.
Well, everyone have a wonderful, fabulous week. We can't wait to come back to you next week with and tell you all of the death threats we've got from the Italian families over in New Jersey. Eek. But apart from that, we really hope we have a good week as well. Thank you so much for listening. You're all awesome and wonderful, and we love you. And we'll see you next week.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.